Bid y'all good morning. Good number out with us here today. We appreciate that very much. We have so many of our regular assembly that's traveling away from us and sick. We still have so many here today. It says a lot about those of you who have made the effort to be here this morning. I appreciate that very much. Appreciate your interest in spiritual things that has you to be out with God's people here today. We have visitors among us. We want you to feel welcome. We want you to feel like our honored guests here at the Clarksville Church of Christ, and hope you'll come out and be with us again and again. We want to remind you and ourselves that all we're interested in is what this sacred volume right here has to say, the Bible. We believe that it is, as it reports to be, the words of God. Jesus one time said, "He that rejects me and receives not my words hath that which judgeth him. For the words that I have spoken will judge you in the last day." So if you appreciate the fact, as I bring forth my lesson here this morning, I'm going to provide you book, chapter, and verse from the Bible, the word of God, for everything that I will preach and teach, because one day you will be judged according to how you've lived your life, in accordance with those words that have been delivered to you and I. We bring honor and glory by preaching and teaching God's word. 1 Peter 4, verse 11, as I do speak here this morning, I am told to proclaim the utterance of God, which I will do to the best of my ability to do those very things. You know, around this time of year, a lot of folks are thinking about the birth of Jesus, aren't they? You know, we don't know when Jesus was born. And we're not told in the scriptures to celebrate his birth. However, we are told why he was born. And what I'd like to do here this morning is this is on a lot of people's mind, is to not ignore it, but simply go to the scripture and talk a little bit about our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I've got six or seven things here I want to point out that the Holy Writ tells us of why it was that he was born. And as we can learn these things here this morning, that it might be very profitable to us. The first thing that I want to show you here this morning, that why Jesus was born, is because it was prophesied that he would be born. He was born because God had promised that a seed would be born to crush the head of the devil. You may recall in the beginning of time, in Genesis chapter 1 through 3, that God created the heavens and earth and made all things good. He put man and a woman in a garden, what we know of as the Garden of Eden. And he told them they should be able to eat of every tree in the garden except one, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We see the devil coming upon the scene of time in Genesis chapter 3. And he paints a totally different picture to the man and woman, especially the woman Eve. And we read in verse 6 that when she saw that the tree was good for food and pleasant to the eye and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and gave also to her husband, and he did eat. And because of that, sin entered the world, and death by sin. A separation between the creation of God, his ultimate creation, man, and his creator. But God promised in the garden, in Genesis chapter 3, and verse 15, speaking to the serpent, he said, "But I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. But you shall bruise his heel." And that prophecy was the coming seed of woman, Jesus Christ. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul, talking about our Lord, said, "When the fullness of time come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born of the law, under the law, that he might redeem them that was under the law." In the right time, God fulfilled his promise in sending his Son, Jesus Christ. He, by coming, fulfilled a number of prophecies in his birth, in his life, and in his death, and even in his resurrection. There's well over 300 prophecies that Jesus of Nazareth fulfilled, giving us proof, without a shadow of a doubt, that he was the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God that was to come. In Isaiah chapter 7, in verse 14, Isaiah there, prophesying of Jesus coming, said, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." In the book of Matthew, in chapter 1, Matthew, the gospel writer, tells us that this scripture was fulfilled in Jesus Christ when he says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and she shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Now all these things were done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is being interpreted, "God with us." Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, that he would be born of a virgin, and he would be known as God with us. But it wasn't only that prophecy,
But there was well over 300 prophecies that he fulfilled. Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 3, that he would be born under the lineage of Abraham. In Micah 5 and verse 2, that he would be born in Bethlehem. In Jeremiah 31 and verse 15, that children would be killed. As you may recall, that Herod killed all those in Judea that were 2 years and younger, attempting to kill the Christ, the Son of God. That kings would bring gifts unto him, Psalm 72 and verse 10. And that God would call him out of Egypt as Joseph went and hid him in Egypt while Herod was killing the young boys. And that he would come back, Hosea chapter 11 verse 1. And that is just seven prophecies that Jesus of Nazareth fulfilled. What are the odds of that? What are the odds of an individual fulfilling that many prophecies? Just seven. Not 300, but seven. Well, I'm glad you asked because I got that answer. The odds are 1 to the 10th power to the 17th. 17th power, I should say. I'll get it right, Brian. We got an engineer with me here. I've got to say this right. 17 zeros at the end of it. I don't know what that number is. Brian may be able to tell us a little bit later. But let me give you an idea of what that is in regards to the odds, because some of those numbers just get way above my mind. I can put my mind around this. The odds of somebody fulfilling just those seven scriptures, okay, would be like someone stacking half-dollar bills 2 feet deep over the entire surface of the state of Texas, one of them being marked, stirred all around, and a blind man finding it. You like those odds? That, ladies and gentlemen, is just one person fulfilling those seven scriptures, let alone 300. And I say that to you as we begin this lesson to tell you this. Jesus was the Son of God. Why was Jesus born? That he might fulfill all these prophecies. But also, I want you to appreciate that he was born to destroy the works of the devil. Satan had made a mess of things. In John chapter 8 and verse 44, Jesus, talking to those Jewish leaders on that occasion, said, "You do the lust of your father, and your father you'll do his works." He was a murderer from the beginning and did not abode in the truth. When he spoke a lie, he spoke of his own self, for he was a liar and the father of it. Jesus came, ladies and gentlemen, to destroy the works of the devil. "I will put enmity between thy seed. You shall bruise his heel," God spoke in regards to Jesus, "but he will crush your head." Jesus is going to crush the head of Satan. In 1 John 3 and verse 8, "For this purpose the Son of God was born, that he might destroy the works of the devil." 1 John 3 and verse 8. Again, in Hebrews 2:14, "For as much then as the children were partakers of flesh and blood, he also took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power over death, that is the devil." Why was Jesus born? He was born that he might destroy the works of the devil. But also, Jesus was born, ladies and gentlemen, to reveal the Father's will. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 17, "For the law was given by Moses," that should be John chapter 1 and verse 17, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Jesus was born to reveal the truth of God, his will toward us. In John 14 and verse 24, "And the word which you heard of me is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." God the Father had Jesus born, sent forth his Son, that he might reveal the Father's will for you and I. Did you think about that idea? That's what the Hebrew writer, I think, was getting at in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, when he said, "Sundry times and in many different ways, God in times past spoke to the fathers by the prophets, but hath in these last days spoken to us through his Son, which he made heir of all things, who created all things, that all things are upheld by the power of his word. Who was," he says, "the image of his glory, the express image of his person." God sent forth his Son so that we might know God and know God's will. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man will come to the Father but by me." Why? Because I reveal the Father's will, and his will is for you to follow me. The words that I have spoken will judge you in the last day. John chapter 12 and verse 48. When you think about the birth of Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to appreciate and not miss this, that he was born to reveal the will of God, but also he was born that he might provide an example to his creation on how that they should live in this world. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, because Christ also suffered, leaving us an example to follow in his footprints. Jesus Christ was born and lived a flesh and blood life so that you and I might be able to see how it is one should live in a flesh and blood body. In Philippians 2 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You see, Jesus is the ultimate example of our mindset and the decision-making process that we put. Paul said in Galatians 2 and verse 25, I am crucified with Christ, but yet I live, but yet not I, but Christ that now lives within me. For the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I follow Christ and his example. Anytime I face a crisis or simply live in my life and I ask myself the question, what did Jesus do? And all I have to do is look to Jesus and see how it is I should respond, the actions that I have, the mindset that I should take. One of my favorite songs growing up, it was number 230 in the Red Book, if those of you who are old enough to remember that. It was entitled, Let the Beauty of Jesus Be Seen in You. And I can still remember that and singing that song as a young child. And I want you to appreciate the fact that one of the reasons why Jesus was born was to provide you and to provide me an example of how it is we should act, react, converse, and respond in our flesh and blood bodies. But also, I want you to see this. Jesus was born to give life. Jesus said in John 10 and verse 10, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. A lot of people have the idea, like that little schoolboy one time, and said the best that he could tell that Jesus was someone who just went around looking for somebody, having a good time, and putting a stop to it. And if that is your attitude in regards to Jesus and his teaching, I want you to understand you have a wrong mindset. Jesus Christ came to give you life, to not only give you life, but to give you life that's more abundant. In John chapter 6 and verse 23, for the bread of God is he which comes down from heaven and gives life. Jesus Christ is literally the bread, the spiritual nourishment that you and I need to have a full and complete life. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, Jesus said, and I give them eternal life. For this is the record that God has given us eternal life, and that life is in his Son. 1 John 5 and verse 11. As you think about Jesus and his birth today, I want you to appreciate that Jesus came that you might have life. But also, Jesus Christ came to die. Paradoxically, Jesus was born and given life in this sphere that he might die. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, Jesus there said, for the Son of Man did not come to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus Christ was born ultimately so that he might die. John the Baptist, seeing Jesus in John 1 and verse 29, said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ was born that he might be a sacrifice to God for you and I. In 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, Jesus Christ, our Passover, being sacrificed for us. In Isaiah 53 verses 3 through 5 that Donnie read so well a few moments ago, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes upon his flesh and blood body, you and I are healed. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us has gone on our way. But the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Jesus Christ in a flesh and blood body, just like you and I have today, having the life that you and I breathe today, was born for the very purpose that he might die for you and me. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am chief, Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. All of us have sinned. The wages of sin is death, and someone had to pay the price. Someone had to die. God committed his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For Christ also has once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the body. Ladies and gentlemen, as you can hardly imagine, Jesus Christ was born so that he might die. And finally, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus was born that he might save. In Matthew 1 and verse 21, she shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from his sins. Literally, the idea of Jesus in the Hebrew, Joshua, which means Savior. He shall call his name Savior. Why? Because he will save his people from his sins. In Luke 19 and verse 10, Jesus said, for the Son of Man came. Why did you come, Jesus? That I might save sinners. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed upon him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For I came not into the world to condemn the world. I was not born, Jesus said, that I might condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. That's the reason why I was born, to save. I endure all things for the elect's sake, Paul said, for the salvation which is found in Christ Jesus, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10. And though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And then being made perfect, he became the author unto everlasting salvation unto all them that obey him. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. I want you to appreciate here this morning, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus was born to be able to save sinners like you and I. Well, that's my lesson that I've entitled here this morning, Why Jesus Was Born. Now, we don't celebrate this thing in a holiday like Christmas. One thing we do know is most likely was not December 25th. It certainly was another time, was a different season, according to internal evidences we have in the Scripture. But I want you to appreciate all the wonderful things that we have through the life and the birth of Jesus Christ. He was born that he might be able to fulfill prophecy, to see the type of birth that he would have, where he was born, what occasion that birth, that we might know that he was the Son of God. He came and was born to destroy the works of the devil, that he might reveal the will of God, that once the word of God's will was revealed, to provide us an example of how it is we submit to it, to give you and I life, to die for our sins so that he might ultimately save us from our sins. And I think, ladies and gentlemen, if we can learn these lessons about Jesus here this morning and why he was born, then our time will have been spent very profitably. Well, at the end of my lesson, as we always do, we're going to extend the Lord's invitation unto you. Jesus said, I want you to go into the world and I want you to preach this good news. That's the gospel. The things that we just said, I want you to preach it to all creatures. He that believes it and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes it not will be condemned. If you've not done that this morning, this would be a wonderful time to be obedient to that. Repenting of your sin. Make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I'll baptize you right back here in our baptistry for the remission of your sins. You can walk out of here a new creature, being added unto Christ and his church. Maybe as you've done that and you need something else that the Lord will allow us to do through his good book to help you get back on that straight and narrow path that leads from this low ground to heaven above, this is a good opportunity as well. I exhort you to do that here today. We extend the Lord's invitation to all of you here this morning, and we're going to sing this song to encourage you. So if you're subject to him in any way, come forward now as we stand and we sing.